Good morning. You're listening to WTUL News and Views. I'm Nora, and I'm here with Janet.
Good morning, Nora.
And
good morning, WTUL. Awesome people who have been here all day, all night for the last couple weeks.
Talk more direct. Oh, look, I can hear myself now. That's pretty. That's the trick. So, yeah, thank you. It's a great, lovely, kind of cloudy, cool-ish morning out here, and it's just great to be alive. Nora, what did you do this weekend?
Oh, it's my birthday, so I haven't actually done anything political, even though, of course, it was Roots Camp that I was plugging for the last few weeks. We will have coverage of that in the upcoming News and Views regularly scheduled programming on Wednesdays and Fridays. But I am excited to hear Kevin Caldwell is with us. He's from Common Sense NOLA, which is an advocacy group. Kevin, can you give us a little hello?
Certainly. Thank you for having me on this morning, and thank you for WTUL. I happen to enjoy it. I hope everybody does contribute so they can continue to help our community. Common Sense NOLA is a New Orleans-based advocacy group working towards the establishment of a cannabis marketplace. Basically, what it is looking at seeing how things are going across the country and recognizing that, and let's be honest, cannabis, marijuana has been a part of New Orleans culture for well over 100 years. And I think that as we continue to move forward in the 21st century, that we need to stay ahead of the curve in the city's second largest industry. And as we see Nevada and California vote for it in 2016, in so many states where they allow a ballot initiative process, we've seen successes. However, Louisiana does not allow a ballot initiative process. But what Common Sense NOLA has, the strategy we've come up with, is that the city of New Orleans has a ballot initiative process. So what we'd like to do is show support to measure the support that the city of New Orleans has for a regulated marijuana marketplace here. And so we are launching an initiative to create a ballot initiative to alter the city's home rule charter that would allow the city to regulate the production, sale, and taxation of marijuana. Now, this does not overturn state law, but it'll give impetus to our legislators to the level of support that this has in our community. Our legislators have been putting forth very progressive, basically decriminalization bills over the last few years, and they've been crushed by the Louisiana Sheriff's Association in committee. So we would at the very least like to see a vote go to the House and Senate floor. They've been putting forth this legislation for 5 years, and it's always killed in committee. So we'd like to give them a chance to let... I'm sorry.
So, Kevin, yeah, no, this is really exciting, and definitely this time is overdue. A ballot initiative requires 10,000 signatures, is that right?
Yes, 10,000 registered Orleans Parish voters.
Right, so that's a whole heck of a lot of people, and I think if the state were to see that kind of support, 10,000 voters would be significant. What's your strategy to reach out to those 10,000 people?
Well, we've already, on starting in Po' Boy Fest this year, we started a soft launch of the campaign. We already have 1,300 signatures. But just this weekend, commonsensenola.org went live, and we have, and you can sign the petition on our website, and as well as we'll give you directions on how to register to vote as well. Because I often run into my community outreach. People say, well, we really support what you're doing, but, you know, just the, you know, look at the marijuana laws in the state, and they're so archaic, and there's so much pushback against changing it. That says to me that I don't want to participate. And I understand people's frustration and not wanting to participate in the system, but the only way that we can affect positive change is through the ballot box. And I'd love the ability to register a couple more thousand people to vote on this topic alone, if anything else.
I don't think you would have a problem getting people to register on this topic. Now, the consequences of the marijuana or the drug laws in Louisiana, we met on Saturday at a rally that you guys put together for Bernard Noble, who is, has been, he's incarcerated and his sentence is 13 years, is that right?
13.3.
For, he had the equivalent of about two joints on him when he was stopped by police for riding his bicycle the wrong way down Napoleon Avenue. Can you talk a little bit about the consequences of how the drug laws affect people's lives, not only in terms of economics, but also in terms of the physical and emotional ordeals that families have to go through when their loved ones end up in jail for an inordinate amount of time?
Well, absolutely. I think Bernard Noble is a great case or a great example of a criminal justice system running amok. It had been 10 years since Bernard had had any problem with the law. He did have a couple of marijuana arrests and a cocaine possession arrest, but that was back in the 90s. And he had not had any legal trouble in 10 years. He was taking care of his family. He had two special needs children in addition to the other five children that he had. He ran a trucking company. He had actually come back to New Orleans to help his father, who was ill. And he was on his way to his father's shop when he got pulled over for riding the wrong way down a one-way street. But when we look at the criminal, and we'll just say, for example, we're just talking about marijuana here, but your second offense is a felony with up to 8 years in prison. And your third offense is, of course, a felony as well. And then you're looking at a possibility of 20 years. We have people that specifically you can look at people who have been convicted for manslaughter, for DWI, who do significantly less time than that, and in which a human life has been taken. Both the emotional, the financial scars that this can create to a family is immense. I mean, you can look, for example, that Bernard's children will not see their father for 13.3 years. He's in the Jackson Parish Correctional Facility, and that's 4.5 hours away. And this is a common, we're seeing this more and more. In fact, an attorney told me just this week that one of his clients was offered as a deal 10 years for possession of a joint because it was her fourth marijuana conviction. I don't think that anybody really sees that as punishment fitting the crime. But look at it, and we have to look at this basically as a human rights, but a class issue as well. Because what you see is you see an overworked public defender's office that does not have the ability to put the resources into helping defendants actually the way that a private attorney could. And so what we find is that middle class, upper class people that can afford a good lawyer, they usually can get out of the system. But once again, it's the poorer members of our society that don't have the resources to be able to do this end up getting the short end of the stick. And it's really not fair. And you can look at, and I don't think that's the way the justice system was set up. I think that basically we've run amok. And it's time to rein back the justice system in, because the damage that the enforcement of prohibition does to our community is immense. And that's one of the things that one of our talking points is that we feel that the enforcement of prohibition is creating a wall between the community and the police. And if we could simply start ending our enforcement of prohibition the same way that the city of New Orleans did during alcohol prohibition and simply refuse to enforce the prohibition laws, I think you could see a better relationship with the community and the police, and hopefully they could start solving some of our city's more violent crime issues. And also, and I do have to give credit, in 2010, the city passed Ordinance 28246. And that allowed the city of New Orleans officers to write a summons, a municipal summons, rather than an arrest. And hats off to them. They've done an effective job in general with that. We went down from 6,000 arrests annually for simple possession. And we're not talking about dealers or production, but simple arrests to 2,600. I used to teach counterterrorism to law enforcement, so I have a lot of good relationships with the law enforcement community. And the number that they came up with was 6 hours per arrest to process an inmate, process the evidence, possible court time. And they thought that was a good conservative number. So what we can see is that even with 2,600 arrests, that is still 16,000 manpower hours that are being lost enforcing prohibition. For an undermanned, overworked department, I think those scarce resources can be better allocated.
In terms of the health of our community members who might be using drugs, last year they introduced a number of different in the House and Senate bills to address rising rates of overdose. And two of them were great. One of them was like a Good Samaritan law that provided some legal immunity to somebody that had an accidental overdose or had like underage drinkers. Another one made available this antidote for heroin. But this third one really missed the mark, which raised the maximum sentencing for heroin, which is also on the state level for marijuana. So there's no legal designation between the different harms between drugs and this kind of irrational understanding of what drugs are. So in terms of the health of our community members that are using, prohibition has kind of increased that stigma and increased the kind of risks. So in terms of how this ballot initiative could affect New Orleans, what are some more of the positive aspects to that?
Well, thank you for mentioning that. We have a whole... on our website, we have a vision of what we perceive the cannabis marketplace could look like. And we would not affect the normal traditional tourist areas, the French Quarter. When we look at the hospitality industry, too often it's concentrated in the French Quarter, St. Charles Avenue, the Garden District, which is great. I still love all those places. But the economic benefits are rather concentrated in a limited part of the city. The way I see the cannabis industry coming into this city would be in lightly industrialized and industrialized zones. Some of those areas never truly recovered from the oil bust of the 80s. There are warehouses in New Orleans East that are unused. And working with communities and neighborhood associations, see which neighborhoods would like to participate. The average salary in the cannabis industry in California and Colorado is approximately $48,000 a year, and those are with benefits. And those are the kind of jobs that actually New Orleans needs. And we could actually, from seed to sale, create an industry here, and hopefully the legislature would allow an experiment in Louisiana, similar to the way the federal government is allowing Colorado, Washington, Oregon, and Alaska to pursue their, the way that they've legalized marijuana. At the same time, the security associated with this industry would help those communities because those businesses are tightly guarded, as well as they have high-tech security, cameras and things like that, which could help the peripheral areas with their crime issue.
So, thank you. You're listening to WTUL New Orleans, and we're in the middle of our fundraiser drive. So just want to remind listeners that if you appreciate and like the News and Views show and what you're hearing from guests like Kevin Caldwell, who we have in studio this morning, although we're not really in the studio, we're actually on outside at the Student Center on the Tulane campus, then please consider throwing in some money at, you can go online to WTUL New Orleans and follow the directions on how to donate from there. So we're outside, like I said, enjoying our cappuccino and some pretty balmy weather, even though it's overcast, while Bernard Noble is sitting in jail and will be there for 13 years. I'm not sure what he's having for breakfast this morning, but I know that in our Orleans Parish prison, the sheriff likes to brag that he can prepare meals for 90 cents a meal for inmates. I'm not sure what a 90-cent meal looks like, but maybe that's part of the reason we have a lot of health problems in the OPP. As far as passing this legislation, you did mention that there's some pushback from the sheriffs. What are the other obstacles that New Orleans faces? Now, I think it's doable, right, to get some sort of a ballot initiative happening and get that passed. What sort of barriers, other than the sheriff's lobby, do you see in terms of just the mentality around drugs and the whole drug war and, what the drug war was supposed to be?
Do you have any thoughts about that?
Well, I think when it, you know, I'm a bit of a student of history, and you'll never often hear me in conversation say, well, let's look at President Nixon. But let's look at President Nixon, because in 1970, he commissioned the Schaefer Commission, and that was specifically on marijuana laws. The Schaefer Commission came back with the fact that at the very least this should not be decriminalized, and that really in general it should be legalized. He immediately classified that and put it away for 20 years. It's now, via the Freedom of Information Act, it's now available. But really what happened was, and I think we can all remember back during those turbulent time in our country, was that the people that were imbibing in marijuana were basically his political enemies. As we go 45 years out, though, that's kind of a cliched stereotype of the past. And I think now what you see is that we have a institutionalized policy that people just aren't willing to take the time to really look at and try to change. You know, I, you know, as I've traveled all across this great state, you meet all sorts of kinds of people of all ages, all races, all political persuasions that all concur on this. But once again, as with all things in our system, powerful lobbying organizations really control the process. Between the pharmaceutical industry, the Sheriff's Association, the District Attorney's Association, as well as, sadly, a lot of mental health providers. And I was kind of surprised by the mental health providers, and I've reached out to quite a few addiction counselors. And I said, well, how can you be so strongly against this? And they, of course, all off the record state, well, almost 50% of our money comes from people that have to come for these rehabilitation services because they've been arrested. Every one of the counselors I talked to said, well, the marijuana thing's just silly, but in the end, we're a business and we have a bottom line. So basically, it's almost socialism because the government is mandating that people get this treatment for a drug that nobody has ever OD'd on in the history of mankind, except for Willie Nelson did say that a friend of his died because of marijuana, because a bail fell on him. And I'm sorry for Willie's loss on that. But we have to really look at, at the industries and the individuals and the organizations that benefit from it. Specifically, the here in Louisiana, we always hear prison for profit, prison for profits. Well, we have a particularly insidious vision of prison for profit here because it's a sheriff-based. So sheriffs in Louisiana are very powerful. Outside of Orleans Parish, they are the tax collectors as well as the enforcement of the enforcement wing of government. Well, they also, in northeastern Louisiana, five different parishes took long-term bonds out to build these huge prisons to warehouse people. They are also the largest employer in their parish. There is not a business model that I know of that looks to decrease their bottom line. So it's really in their best interest to keep as many people as possible in jail. And let's be honest, a vast majority of time, simple drug abuse cases, they're the easiest people to manage. It's a lot harder to manage a rapist and a murderer than it is someone a victim of the drug war.
Nationally, there are a lot of insiders in law enforcement that are pushing for common sense reform. With prisons, there's a sheriff in New Hampshire and just a whole organization called Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, also known as LEAP. I'm wondering if you've encountered any of our local folks that maybe would be able to connect with them.
Yes, we actually have. In fact, at our Bernard Noble rally, the Louisiana representative for LEAP came and spoke. His name is David Brown. He's a fantastic partner and a lobbyist in Baton Rouge. I have also worked with, as I said, I have some counterterrorism experience, and I have a lot of law enforcement officers who support what I do. And in fact, at the Po' Boy Fest, we had five police and 10 firefighters that came up and signed our petition. So there's a lot of cross the board support.
Well, thank you so much for coming in, Kevin. Can you give us a little review of how to sign for this ballot initiative?
Absolutely. www.commonsensenola.org. And pretty much on any page that you go to, you'll have the ability to sign the petition. Tell your friends.
And the clemency.
And yes, and also you can go to Be Noble, Free Noble, to sign the change.org petition for Governor Jindal and the clemency board to grant clemency to Bernard Noble. And thanks, Tulane. I very much appreciate it. And hey, send your donations in. I know I listen to TUL, and if you're listening now, you do too. And nothing's free in life, so let's keep TUL afloat.
Kevin has just a couple more things to say.
All right, thank you. And I forgot to, I'd like to thank the wonderful students at Students for Sensible Drug Policy at Tulane. They've been a great partner organization with Common Sense NOLA, and they've been helping us since we began, and we so much appreciate their hard work towards our project. And we also have to thank Councilwoman Susan Guidry. She has she put forth very progressive legislature in 2010 with 28-246, and her and her staff have been wonderful trying to analyze and sharing the data with me on how this has been implemented and the data that they've been able to collect. And I believe that they will be hosting a commission here, or a committee, I'm sorry, on to see how this has been affected and if it can be tweaked to even lower the number of arrests more. So hats off to Councilwoman Guidry and all the other progressive members of our city council trying to do the best that they can, and we appreciate it. Just like TUL does. Make sure you continue to contribute. The Rock on Marathon's on.